Pastor Bradford is not with us this morning. He is on his way back from investing in missionaries in the country of Spain. And I know he appreciates the opportunity to take that trip and just invest in our missionaries overseas. But we're honored this morning to have a great mom with us, Dr. Beth Grant. Beth has served as a missionary primarily to the country of India, but she's invested in over 30 nations of the world. She's also the co-director of Project Rescue, that is rescuing women who have been forced into prostitution, and has done so many wonderful things through that ministry. She is here this morning with her wonderful husband, what's his name? David. I think he's done some things in missions as well, but it's good to have him here. And Beth is a great mom. And with all the wonderful things that she's done, I'm sure that she values that as probably the highest in all of her credentials. She has two wonderful, wonderful daughters, Becca, who's a missionary associate with Project Rescue, and Jennifer is here this morning. And she just graduated from Evangel University with a degree in nursing, and she got engaged last December, so congratulations to her. But we are blessed to have you here. Thank you so much for the honor of your presence and just sharing with us. Please help me welcome Dr. Beth Grant.
Good morning. It's a joy to be together. And it's especially a joy. Central Assembly is very special to us. When we moved back from basing overseas, Jennifer was in high school, and we're coming back here to base. And we had said, okay, we're going to visit three churches, good churches, all good churches, for 3 Sundays. And at the end of those 3 Sundays, God can lead us, and we're going to commit to one church. Whatever that is, that's going to be home. And so the first week we were here, Jennifer came to Central Youth Group. Trish and Craig Cunningham reached out to her. And she came home that night, and she said, Mom, can we go back there? And I said, well, certainly. So we came the next Sunday, and here we are ever since. So this is a wonderful family church. And we just appreciate the church, the staff, Pastor Bradford. Everyone has been so kind to us. And we are blessed to be here when we're not traveling. Today, I have a special gift, too. My husband is here. Now, often he is somewhere else, and we're somewhere else together, or he is somewhere else, and I'm here. So, David Lowell Grant, thank you. This is my Mother's Day present. He's right on the front row. And so that's a joy. And David is a very involved parent. From the time I found out I was pregnant with Rebecca, and we started childbirth classes, he was the greatest coach in all the world. I mean, he was also the loudest coach. The whole birthing class enjoyed having him there because he, you know, cheered everybody on. So he's been involved out from the time they were little. He's wonderful with babies. He can't wait for grandbabies, actually, in the right time. Hold on. Yeah. No, he's wonderful with babies. He would get up, and I'm more of a morning person, so I was good on the morning shift. David would get up at night and walk babies, and he's been wonderful. And then as the girls became older and older and teenagers, he's been just as involved. He's always been very involved. And so there have been a few occasions. For example, I remember one occasion when Rebecca had said to me, Mom, I'm coming home from Evangel, and I'm going to bring her boyfriend, and which I will not name. She was bringing him home and said, we're going to come home and watch, you know, a video. And I said, okay, that'll be great. Your dad's coming home. And she said, oh, okay. And so then Jennifer said, well, Mom, I'm bringing so-and-so home, and we're going to come over and hang out a while. And I said, great. I said, your dad's going to be here. But she said, okay. She said, Mom, please talk to Dad. Just help him, okay, please? And I said, okay, everything will be fine. So we had Rebecca in one room, and Jennifer and her friend were out on the front porch on the swing, and I had said to David, I said, now, David, both the girls are bringing somebody home. You can handle this. Just really cool, no big deal. Okay, oh yes. Well, after a little while, suddenly David had disappeared, and suddenly Jennifer comes running in, and she was in tears. And she said, "Mom, you've got to do something. You've got to get Daddy." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Mom, he has this young man out in the front yard washing the car. And Mom, it's raining." So it's an exciting journey with involved dads. But what a joy. What a joy. And this morning, as we are here, and I'm going to share some thoughts that for me have been, when I think about being a mom and mothering, things that perhaps for me stand out the most in as I've walked through this journey and watched my mom also, who's here today, as I've watched her, and as I look at our daughter, some of the things, what I would call themes for mothering. But before I start that, I also want to mention how pivotal a role single women in missions or women who have not had children who have adopted our daughters spiritually. At times when I was being pulled in all directions and there wasn't enough strength, we would have single women in missions and other women who had not had their own children, but they spiritually adopted our daughters. And they spoke into their lives many, many times. And if you are those ladies this morning, I would say thank you. Thank you. This morning is also to celebrate your contribution to those of us who need all the help we can get. What I'd like us to do is stand first, and I want to go to a passage in Deuteronomy as we read together. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. And this morning, for the comments, things we want to look at, this would be the frame. I looked elsewhere, but I kept coming back to this because this is the theme above the other themes and why we celebrate Mother's Day today. "Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Know the Lord your God is God, the faithful God." And then let's go back to chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And this, perhaps, as a mom to me, has been my approach to mothering. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be among your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Father, that is our heart this morning. We recognize that you are our God, and we are your people. And Father, we celebrate this morning the faithful God. We can celebrate Mother's Day, Father, because we know with our humanity that we serve a faithful God who can be trusted from generation to generation. And Father, as we are here this morning, we turn our hearts towards you. Speak into our hearts. I pray for every mom here, every grandmother, Father, every daughter. I pray that you would dig deep and may, through the power of the Holy Spirit, touch our lives today. Lord, quicken us. For those who are discouraged, quicken us by the power of your Spirit. Lift our hearts and fill us with faith as we celebrate our faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, and we will give you all the glory. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, briefly, I'd like to look at what I would call four themes for mothering. First, I would like to look at the word I'd have to say as a mom. I'd have to start out by saying, when I think of mothering, I have to celebrate humility. I said to someone years ago when I was traveling in India and I had two little girls and I would spend 2 hours getting them fed and dressed and cleaned. And by the time we got in the car to the place we were going to for the service, everything that could be done on me had been done on me by the time I got there. And you think, why did I just spend 2 to 3 hours getting everybody up early and getting them clean? And, you know, it was a reminder to me that mothering is a work in humility. You may think you have it all together. I may think I have it all together. And then something happens. And we are reminded that we are not perfect. Our children are not perfect. I can think, you know, the scripture, pride comes before a fall. About the time I thought I had one stage figured out, we entered a new stage. So you just keep going to God desperately and saying, God, help me. I remember being in a Presbyterian church. We were in language school in Switzerland, and we were attending a Scottish Presbyterian church. That was the closest church there, and it was a wonderful church. But as I would usually do, because our girls were in often a different church every Sunday, so therefore they were going into a new children's church or a new nursery every Sunday. So I would usually take them, and then I would linger at the door out of sight to kind of peek in and make sure they were okay. Well, I remember Rebecca was three, and here we are. We're the missionaries, and here is the Scottish Presbyterian Church. I get her in there. She seems to be fine, but I'm peeking in the door and watching. And it's time for the offering in children's church. So they begin to pass these little plates and baskets, and all the children are putting their money in the offering to God, and they get to Rebecca, and instead of putting money in, she takes money out. And I go, oh God, she has seen her daddy take the offering one too many times. I can remember other mothers' moments as I've watched. And we all have them, don't we? And God helps us. He keeps us humble as moms and with a sense of humor. Number two, not first the theme of humility, then the theme, let's remember to set the table. Several months ago, I was privileged to hear a woman speaker. She's a pastor's wife from Texas named Debbie Titus. I had never heard her minister before. And she did a whole session on the symbolism of the table in Scripture. And she began with the tabernacle in which God talked to his people and said, I want you to build the table. There were utensils, eating utensils on the table. And then there was the bread. The bread that represented the presence of God. And then she went on down through Scripture, as we look through Scripture in Psalm 23, where the psalmist David says, God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That he is saying, even when David was running for his life, here is God who is preparing a place for him that represented the presence of God, the provision of God. And later in the New Testament, we know that bread at the table represented later Jesus. She went all through Scripture and showing how important the table was. And she looked at America today and had studies that show how increasingly American families never sit down together at the table. And she talked about the fact that the table, and I related this so strongly, that for Christian families, the table is literally the place where we sit together in all the busyness, sit down and look at one another across the table and say, okay, how did it go today? And we talk about it, and our children start talking, okay, here's the good things, here's the bad things, and we sit. But what do? Before we eat, we invite the presence of Jesus to be at the table with us. Friends, moms, grandmoms, sometimes now in our home, my mom is the one setting the table. But may God help us, because there's something there. For us traveling many times, it was in a restaurant, but there needs to be a time. where we say, I'll bring everybody together. We will sit down together. We will look one another in the face and we will really see each other and say, how's it going? What's happening? What went wrong? What can we do? And then finally, the point of all of that is to say, whatever it is we're all facing, we can bring Jesus into the mix. The presence of Jesus at our table, the importance of the table. Debbie Titus was saying how often now in America, our kids are all running so fast that from the time where they're little, we just throw food at them. She said, like little animals, okay, here's a piece of this, here's a piece of that, and everybody runs. My husband and I were with a pastor recently, he and his family breaking apart. He said, for 2 years, my wife and I have not talked. Now, it's hard to sit at a table together on a regular basis and not talk, especially at the beginning if we say, not just Jesus bless the food, but what touched me was, Father, we recognize your presence at our table. It's not just us. We invite you to be at the table with us. It was so interesting after I heard this sermon. Rebecca, our daughter, who's in India right now on a MAPS assignment, she had been with missionaries, and they said, how can you come through? You've been so positive about missions. You love missions. You grew up in missions. How are you so positive? And she said, because every day after school, I would come home, and my mom was there, and we'd sit down and have a snack around the table, and we would talk about what was happening in us. And I said, thank you, Lord. Families, even if it's a restaurant sometimes, may we come around the table and really see each other. And take the time to really hear each other. And I know how many times I'd say, okay, Becca, how did you go to school today? Oh, okay. I look at her face. It wasn't true. Sometimes it takes 3 and 4 times to ask before you actually get to what's happening there. And I would ask and say, no, honey, are you sure? You look hurt. And so God help us to come together at the table, because it's not just us at the table. It's the chance to say, hey, guys, we're going to sit down and we're going to invite the Lord to be with us and we're going to come together. Let us remember to set the table. The third theme I'd like to look at briefly. Let's celebrate on Mother's Day God's creative work in our children's lives by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, friends, is creative. Mom, the Holy Spirit is creative. He is able to quicken things in our mind, give us words that we do not have. He's able to anoint us. And I've said many times, I believe that I have needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I believe and I thank God for the gift of the Spirit. But I believe I've needed His anointing more as a mother. When I'm looking at a teenage daughter who's struggling, I've needed His words as much as I've ever needed an anointing behind a pulpit. That's where I appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, I run out of words. In fact, have you ever, Mom, been to the place where you heard yourself talk so much you were absolutely sick of the sound of your own voice? And I go, oh, Beth, be quiet. It's like I needed just the right words. I believe there are times when the Spirit of God, as we pray with our children, He quickens images, He quickens words in our minds. Our daughter, Rebecca, who was, from the time she was 3 weeks old, I knew she was strong-willed. At 3 weeks, I was already saying, oh, God, help me, give me wisdom. This is a strong-willed child. And I remember as she would grow up, she was always the why child. She was the one who had to, it wasn't enough to say, this is what we've always done. No. But why? Here's a better way, Mom. Always. So you're always feeling this pull, always the pressure, you know. Well, when she was 6 years old, she started taking horse riding lessons. She loved to ride. And here's this little girl like this doing 6-foot-high jumps on big horses, fearless. And she loved to ride. In fact, from age 6 to 13, she liked horses more than people. Well, for her 13th birthday, I was really praying, Lord, what can I do? This is an important birthday. What can I do that would really somehow help connect Rebecca in a way that something that will be symbolic for her? And I thought, horse. So we went and got a necklace, and it had a charm with a horse on there, and we sat down with her and celebrated her 13th birthday. And as I handed that to her, I said, Becca, this is a beautiful Arabian. Now she knows those. And I said, you're just like this. An Arabian is a spirited, beautiful, beautiful horse. Very powerful. But Becca, you and I know that that horse, unless the reins are in the hand of a skill rider, that power and that strength can be destructive to the horse or to others. Becca, God's given you the gift of a powerful, strong spirit and will. And he's given it to you for a reason, but honey, you need to put the reins in God's hands, or you're going to self-destruct. God loves you, and the reins are not a bad thing, but you've got to put those reins in his hand. And honey, if you do that at times, you know, you'll feel that pull on the reins. You'll feel it. And it's God, and he's going, okay, back up this way, this way, this way. Go to the right. And then at other times, you'll feel the rein this way, or at times, suddenly that rein will pull back, and you'll know, wait a minute, Becca, stop. And then other times, when God has the reins, there are times he lets us run full out. And those are the fun times. But Becca, you've got to put your life in his hands. Now you see, she knew what it felt like to be the one with the reins. She knew what that felt like. And I can't tell you how many times, friends, we went back in the years to that image, because that was an image for her. She understood. She could feel it. And I would remind her. And last week she called me from India, and she had been invited to speak in Pastor Moen's church. She's 25. She was invited to speak to a church of 35,000 people. Friends, it took a girl with a lot of spirit and a lot of courage and a lot of strength at 25 to say, okay, I'll go for this. But you see, God gave her that strength and that spirit and that courage for a reason. God didn't gift our children just to spite us. May God give us the discernment, moms, to recognize the hand of God on our children, to recognize gifts. You see, Jesus used the image with Peter. He said, Peter, you're a rock. You're a rock. You're going to be strong. My church is going to be built. My church is going to be built. You're going to be a key strength. He said that when Peter, the rock, was nowhere to be seen. And he can give us the gift as parents, a word of discernment. Even when the children are not there yet, he can give us a word of faith. When my husband's father was 11 years old, his mother was dying. 5 children. Her husband was an alcoholic. And she called her eldest son to her bedside as she was dying and said, Curtis, God's going to save you. And he's going to use you to lead the whole family to Jesus. And at 17, he found the Lord. And over the years led even his father, who was a difficult man, to Jesus. God, by his Spirit, ladies, families, he can drop truth into our hearts and lives. And you see, the strength we can recognize through God's Spirit, things that are, in a sense, prophetic. And we can speak powerful words into our children's lives. Number 4, as I look at Mother's Day, It's just a day to celebrate God's faithfulness with faith, not fear. Let me say it again. It's a time to celebrate God's faithfulness with faith, not fear. Because of his faithfulness that we read about in Deuteronomy, because of God's faithfulness, he is the faithful God. We can parent with faith, not fear. As I come back, as I travel overseas and I come back to the U.S., one thing that has struck me and hits me in the face is the level of fear that I see in the body of Christ in America as it relates to our children and our young people. Now you say, well, Beth, we have reason to be concerned. And I say, yes, I look at our culture and where we're headed. We have reason to be concerned. But friends, concern is one thing, fear is another. You see, fear is not of God. He did not want us to be fearful for our children. He wants us to have faith in him for our children. You see, I don't have faith because it's Beck or Jennifer. I have faith because I know the God who is the true and the living God, and he is all powerful. His word is truth, and he is faithful. And you say, but you don't understand. Well, see, I come back from overseas where the girls have been in schools, and people say to me, oh my goodness, the public schools are terrible. All these things are happening. And I say, do you know where I've been? The schools our girls attended, they were taught Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, plus unofficially atheism and skepticism. If you were a person of faith as a Christian, the faculty, most of the faculty, the attitude was, well, if you are a Christian of faith, that's because you've been so sheltered that you've not been exposed to anything else. Therefore, we will help expose you. 30%, roughly, of the faculty were practicing homosexuals. Now, we have two choices. We can retreat and run and isolate our children and our families, or we can say in the name of Jesus, we are the children of God, we serve the true and the living God, his word is truth, he is all powerful, and we can have our children experience his love and power in church and at home in such a way that it doesn't matter what else they see that's a counterfeit, they know God. You see, if by my actions and my attitude, I have so much fear that if my children are exposed to anything else, they're going to walk away from God? Is our God so tenuous? Is his truth so tenuous and implausible and shaky that if my girls are exposed to anything else, they're probably going to lose it? What does that say about our confidence in our God? At 17, I felt the Lord lead me to go to a state university. I was one of 10 students who identified with any kind of evangelical Christianity out of 10,000. Faith was scorned. But I had experienced the power of God in a little Pentecostal church and in my father and mother's home, so that I knew if even if I couldn't answer all the questions intellectually, all the questions out there about God, I did not have to defend God, but I knew God was real. Didn't mean my mind wasn't engaged, but I knew God, the God of this book, is above and beyond man's intelligence. If we could figure him out, he's not a very great God. But I had experienced God. Friends, may God be so real and present in our homes that when our children face other things, you see, The unbelieving in our schools and the teachers are not the enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. He is a power. He is evil. But the people that don't know Jesus in our schools and our communities, that don't know him, that do not have faith, they are not the enemy. They are people Jesus died for. I want, and David Grant wanted, our daughters not to fear them, but to say, God, here is, they have not had the privilege of knowing Jesus like we did. We don't fear them. We pray for them. We befriend them. Our girls befriended in schools overseas the kids that had the most problems. And once in a while, on a school retreat and in an international school, because at the end of the day, in a tent, a couple little girls that knew Jesus would get together and have devotions. And on several occasions, the Spirit of the Lord came down, and kids got saved and filled with the Spirit in a tent on a class trip in an international school, because children and young people and teenagers weren't afraid to be faced with other things that are not of God. May we be strong. May we not isolate our children. May we teach them the Word of God till it becomes part of the fabric of who they are. Not a few verses, but it becomes the fabric of their life, so they don't have to be afraid of anything. But they can go and say, no, our world's a mess, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm going to be a part in Jesus' name. I'm going to be a part of the solution. They can go in strength. I'm so glad at 17, my mom and dad didn't say, oh, no, you can't go there because we're afraid. They said, if this is what you think, Beth, that God wants you to do, we trust you in God and we'll be praying for you. And you see, it was there surrounded by young people my age who were doing all kinds of things in the dorm you can't even imagine. Those were the good old days with marijuana and loves and ends and everything else. And that was where God broke my heart for people that don't go to church every Sunday, but that are broken and need Jesus. That's where mission started. Friends, God didn't call you and I to parent in fear. He called us to equip our kids and get them ready to go out and be strong. I believe in this generation of young people. I think you are the most courageous I have seen for generations. Don't be afraid, because your God is the true and the living God. Other people believe all kinds of things, but if they had a chance to know your Jesus, they would be new. Don't hide yourself from them. Love them. I still pray for faculty members from the international school that somewhere along the way made decisions and went down a road, and they don't know how to get back. But we still weep over them. May God give us faith for our children, for our families, for our grandchildren. It's not a day for fear. It's a day for faith. I'm going to ask two special ladies to come to the platform, because we're going to pray. Very special ladies. We started out with the scripture. By the way, when we talk about having our children be ready, if our children are being challenged every day, we have to do our homework at home. Within a matter of years, friends, if Jesus tarries, our children and our grandchildren are going to face an increasingly pluralistic America, where more and more it's going to look like Europe has looked. And our children, we need to help them be ready to understand why other people believe the way they do, but to understand why, in contrast, Jesus is all the more precious. and all the more powerful and all the more real. Now, this is the lady, Eleanor Oaks, who is, what, 83? Don't want to miss that one right there. This is my mom, Eleanor Oaks. This is the lady that at 17 sent me off. At 18, she sent me on a missions trip for a month. That's before everybody was going. She didn't hold me back. She said, Beth, we'll pray for you. God's hand is on you. And this is the lady for 40 years has sent me off all around the world to places that a lot of people would have said, oh, that's dangerous. No, she knew God. And she said, God is with you, Beth. We will miss you, but we will not be afraid because God is with you. You see, she poured something into me from the time I was a little girl. So it wasn't just at church. Church was the icing on the cake. I met God at home because God was there. And then this young lady, because this lady poured into me and poured faith into me, faith in the faithful God, I can pour myself into this young lady and say, Jennifer, don't be afraid, honey. You may not always understand. You will go through hard places, but you can trust God. He will be faithful to you. You see, because the love of God and his faithfulness is good for generation to generation to generation. And one day there will be little ones in my arms, and I will be praying over them prayers of faith because we serve the God who is faithful. That's why we celebrate Mother's Day. Because it doesn't all rest on our shoulders, it rests on his shoulders. And you say, but Beth, you don't understand this morning. I have a child and they're not walking with God and their life is a mess. They're broken. I have a brother who grew up in the same home I did and went to the same church every Sunday for 18 years. A brother who never in 47 years committed his heart to Jesus. Never once. Went from problem to problem to problem. And the hole got deeper and deeper and deeper. And then last fall, he decided to come to Springfield to visit my dad at Maranatha. And when he got here, I said, Tim, would you go to church with me to Central Assembly? Go with myself and the girls. And he said, no. He said, I'll just go with mom over to Maranatha. He told me later, he said, I thought that was safe. He sat down in the back row alongside my dad in his wheelchair. Regular service. At the end, when Pastor Smalley prayed the prayer of benediction, suddenly, a little lady sitting near my brother, who didn't hardly look like she had strength enough to hold her head up during the service, suddenly jumped to her feet and with a voice that was not hers began to prophesy. And began to prophesy a word of repentance and calling the sinner to repentance and giving a word of love, but also of warning and calling someone that he had called on many times, but who had not responded and saying, I am calling you to come to me. And if you do not, your time is short. She finished, sat down, and was again a feeble, elderly lady who couldn't hold her head up. My brother came home with eyes like this. Tears running down his face, which I have never seen in 47 years. And he said, Beth, for the first time in my life, I knew God knew where I was, and he was talking to me. He said it was a word of mercy and calling me to him, but he said it was also a word of judgment. He was saying, you better get your act together. That was the beginning. My brother, for the last 6 months, has been going to church every Sunday morning for the first time in his life. And he has made steps towards now serving Jesus. This lady prayed for 47 years. This morning, you see, some of us need faith this morning. You, I, many of us need God, give us a gift of faith in this place this morning. Some of us have lost all hope, but Father, you are the God who is faithful. You are the one, Father, that loves our children even more than we do. And Lord, in the most unexpected places, you are able to speak and to touch and to do miracles. And we ask you for that this morning. Give us faith to believe you. Would you stand with me, moms, women, all over, wherever you are, would you just stand with me in this moment? I'm asking you to stand. I want you to stand in faith. All of you can relate to one of these generations. To all of us, God is faithful. I would challenge you this morning. Speak words of faith into your children. Don't beat them over the head. That's a difference. Speak words of faith. Ask God by His Spirit, Grandma, your work is not over. Don't quit on God. Until He takes you to be with Him, He's able by His Spirit to drop prophetic words into your mind and heart and spirit for your grandchildren or your children. And they need you to be a godly woman. Please stand with us. Those of us in the middle, sandwich years. Sometimes it's a pressing time. May God give you strength. May God give you strength today. May He pour His supernatural strength into your life. May He give you wisdom, faith for your children, and faith for your parents. That's a new part of the journey. Sometimes I've prayed, say, God, make me a good daughter. And in the last 2 years, as my dad had Alzheimer's and went to be with the Lord in November, I found myself praying because being a good daughter means something different now than it ever has before. I need His wisdom. We need His wisdom. And we want to be good moms to this generation. We need His wisdom. Spirit of God, move through us. Lord, wherever we are in the journey, if we're just starting out, guide our steps. Father, we know we need you. We don't know what the journey will look like at that point, but Lord, we do know we need you. And we ask you to give us faith for the years that lie ahead. Lord, those moms with little ones, Father, may you give them strength today and patience. And Lord, as they pray over that little one, it's never too early to begin to pray prophetic prayers of faith. Lord, may these moms of little ones lead their children to know you in a powerful way and to mentor them to be little young men and women of God. It's never too early. Father, as we pray over our little ones, I pray that you would have them, may they know you early, Lord, and fill them early with your Spirit so they may begin a lifetime of walking in the Spirit. Father, for those of us in the middle years who are feeling trying to be a good mom and a good daughter, give us wisdom. Give us your love. Give us your patience. Give us forgiving hearts. Help us to forgive freely. Because we must ask for forgiveness freely. And Lord, for those of us who have gone on in their senior years, Lord, like my mom, oh God, give our grandmas faith for all of us. May they bless us. May they set the table for us, Lord. Those of us who are running like crazy, bless our grandmas. Lord, help them to speak love and wisdom and faith into our lives as they testify of the faithful God. And Lord, as a body, we pray for children and grandchildren today that are not walking with you. Father, be with them wherever they are in this moment. Reveal yourself to them. And wherever they are, may they call out to you today and say, oh God, have mercy on me. May they throw themselves upon your mercy, Lord, and may they realize how desperately they need you. And for those who are in bondage that cannot be broken by discussion or dialogue, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the chains of deliverance would begin to be broken. Mental bondage, spiritual bondage. Father, those things would bind that Satan uses to bind those who would want to take steps toward you but are literally enslaved by Satan's chains. We pray in the name of Jesus today that chains would be broken and there would be deliverance in the lives of our children today. And Father, we will give you all the praise and the honor and glory. And we will truly celebrate Mother's Day today, saying we celebrate the faithfulness of God. We will not fear, but we will have faith. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. That young lady that I felt like often, I told her, I said, Becca, for the time being, God puts the reins into your parents. So you're going to have to pray for us and trust God as we try to hear God. But this morning, as she's facing young girls that have been rescued out of prostitution in the last few months, she's facing demonic power. You see, God knew she's going to have to be strong. Let's thank God for strength. Submitted strength is an awesome thing. Moms, we've got to put the reins of our lives in his hands. So when he goes like this, says, hold it, slow down, go this way, so that we know what that feels like, and we too obey. As we dismiss, I'm going to ask, men, would you join us, and everyone, let's stand. I don't even know what time it is or how when I'm supposed to stop. I just know God is with us. And I prayed this morning, and I believe, God, that God has dropped a gift of faith into some of your hearts this morning. You see, faith is what you have when you cannot see it. But it's something that is a gift from God, and it's not based on what we see. It's based on what we know in our heart and spirit, because God has dropped it there, and suddenly we have faith. Our children need us to have faith. And this morning, as you go, as you celebrate today, may together all of us, men, women, fathers, mothers, grandchildren, all of us together. This morning we have been at the table together, and his presence has been with us. Take his presence with you. Recognize his presence at your table. Our children need it. And begin to speak words of faith over every member of your family as God drops faith in your heart. And I believe some of us will look back to today and say, as we're going to close in prayer with a prayer of faith and then go, but would you claim it? Some of you, God's dropped something in your heart. Would you claim it today for a daughter, a son, a grandchild? Claim it, maybe. David's grandfather came to the Lord at 72. It may be for a parent. But would you join me and then celebrate Mother's Day because God is faithful. Father, we leave in joy today. We leave in thankfulness because God, you are the faithful God. And we will share your faithfulness with our children. We will say, even when we do not understand, we have still seen that God can be trusted, and that when you give your life to him, you can trust him with your life. We can say it to our grandchildren. God is faithful. I have seen it over the years. And Lord, may we be people who celebrate your faithfulness today. And we believe, as your word has gone forth this morning, that you have begun some miracles in lives that we cannot see. But God, I believe, I feel it, I see it in my spirit, that children's lives are going to be touched today, and you're going to speak to them and draw them to yourself. And Lord, we thank you this morning for sending us out of here in faith and not fear. And Father, if anyone sitting here among us, if we are children, if there is any fear in any mom's life today, again, Father, we just say in the name of Jesus, be free. In the name of Jesus, be free from fear. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep us as we trust in the faithful God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God go with you and have a wonderful day.